God would sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. It's overwhelming, your presence. Father, we honor you and bless you and thank you. Hallelujah, that you enable us to commune with you. In that way, we honor you and thank you tonight. Father, as we stand before the word, we do so as those who are mindful that your word is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. There's nothing like your word. Your word is changing our very lives. Your word is prevailing in our lives. Your word is accomplishing your will and purpose and plan in our lives. Your word makes us to be overcomers in every area of life. The mighty word of God. And so these are your sheep. This is your pasture. Feed your people tonight. Have your way in this place. Be glorified, Father God. We submit the word to you tonight. Ask you for unction and utterance to share it as you gave it to us. Give us that unction, that utterance, that divine ability to share it with them now. Father God, we just give you the glory, give you the honor. Trust you for what shall be accomplished in this very service. In the heart of every believer, speak a word. Speak to every person represented here. Speak a word into the life of every situation represented here, every individual, every person listening to this message via whatever medium. We thank you for a word come from heaven, Father God, to your people, individually, corporately. And we shall not be those who sit like bumps on a log just listening to the word, but we shall be those who actively listen and do the word. We shall do what you tell us to do. Father God, we shall be those who hear the word and respond and act on the word, acting on the word. Hallelujah. So we look to you now and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can have your seat. Let's begin by thanking all of these who lead us into worship. Praise God. They didn't have to come anointed, but they did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Appreciate it. Give them another hand clap. Don't you appreciate that? Man. Don't you love that last song too? Man, all of them are good, but man. Praise God. Well, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they say that if you put a frog in warm water and you can get the frog to sit there, and you gradually turn the water up, that the frog will just sit there, comfortable in that water. And as you change the temperature gradually up, the frog will be so comfortable it doesn't detect the temperature change until it's too late. Now, some have tried that and said the frog jumped out the water, but others have tried it and said the frog stayed in the water till it was too late, and the frog perished because of the heat, not recognizing what was going on and the temperature changes around it. I have never tried that, but tonight I want to talk to you about the church on fire. The church on fire. God expects each and every one of his children to be on fire for Jesus Christ. Title of this message tonight, The Urgency of Fervency. The Urgency of Fervency. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 12. We're going to be reading many scriptures from the New American Standard, if you will. Acts chapter 12, I'm just going to read one verse as we begin tonight. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. You remember Peter was in prison. I'm only going to read one verse of this now because I'm going to come back to it in my third point to you tonight. And we'll detail some more things about this passage then. The urgency of fervency. God is looking for the ecclesia, the called out ones, individually, to be on fire, to burn for Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. I'm going to read that one more time. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. I was just reading that verse of scripture, and I was reading scripture, not to be reading for any particular reason, but I was just reading scripture, and you know, scripture is always a blessing when we read it. Anytime we read scripture, you always get blessed reading the word. And the thing I like about it, if you read the word long enough, God will make a rhema word stand out to you. I said, I wish I had an amen there. I said, God's got a word for all his children. You're looking for a word. You're looking for a word. Don't go to man looking for a word. Get in the book, in the holy book. And if you'll read long enough, a word come from heaven will come to you. A rhema word. And I was reading this scripture, minding my own business. And I wasn't looking for it. But when I came across this verse, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. That word fervently jumped off the page of scripture to me. And I couldn't turn loose of that word fervently. And it's the reason for this message here tonight. And that word fervent is what we're after. That word fervent is what I want to talk to you tonight about. The urgency of fervency. The Bible commands us as believers to be fervent in the Lord. Here it says the church, they were praying. They weren't just praying. They were praying fervently. Prayer was being made fervently by the church to God. And without this quality of fervency, our Christian walk will become complacent, lackluster, and dull. It doesn't mean that we don't love the Lord, but our lives will lose that enthusiasm and excitement for Christ that we must have in these last days. God has a mission. He has a purpose to accomplish in this earth realm in these last days. And let me tell you this, every one of us are a part of that plan. But for us to be effective in accomplishing what God has given us to do in this earth realm, we must individually be and burn on fire for Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I'm not talking about emotionalism, because some of us are simply more emotional than others. And some of us just, you know, have to have the right. Some of us say, well, I'm not emotional. But then when you put the right thing in front of them, we can get very emotional. In a few days, the Super Bowl is going to be on, and some of the quietest people you ever heard in your life are going to be very emotional. And, you know, when beast mode starts shaking and baking and moving and jumping and people are shouting and knocking stuff over and flinging popcorn and chips. And then the same people say, oh, I'm not emotional at all. But you let Tom Brady rear back to throw a pass and he moves and jukes one man and he has the ball in his hand. And, oh, man, the whole house, the roof is going to come off the house. Just put the right situation in front of him. Some man said, no, I'm not emotional at all. Yeah, you watch Tom Brady throw that ball. You'll be emotional, all right. And then on the other hand, you know, some ladies say, oh, that's boring. That'd make me yawn. But you can take some women and you can put them in front of a good sale with a nice pair of jeans and boots and a matching purse, and you better get out the way. You're going to get run over with emotionalism. So tonight, I don't want you to confuse what I'm saying. I'm not talking about being more emotional. If you're emotional, that's all right. Nothing wrong with being emotional. If you're more reserved, that's all right too. I'm talking about being on fire for Jesus Christ. And it's really up to you what you get excited about. But when I'm talking about Jesus, then there is nothing more important. There is no one more important to be excited about than our Jesus. Our Savior Jesus, we get excited. We should be on fire. We should be enthusiastic about Jesus because Jesus has conquered kingdoms. We should be fervent in our love for Christ because Jesus has triumphed over the grave. We should be fervent in our love for him because Jesus has defeated Satan and all of his demon cohorts. We should be fervent and excited about Jesus because he's accomplished our eternal redemption and he's seated at the right hand of God. I wish I had an amen in this place. Not only that, we should be excited about Jesus because Jesus washed us in his precious blood. Today we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We should be excited and fervent for Christ because Jesus covered our sins through the atonement. And Father God no longer looks at us as unholy or unworthy. Hallelujah. We should be excited about Jesus because he became our advocate with the Father. And today we've been justified, which means God treats me just like I've never sinned. We should be excited about Jesus because God has now given us an advocate with him. Hallelujah. And through Jesus, we've been blessed by the Father with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians tells us. Christ, his death was substitutionary and sacrificial and became the reason that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. It's why Hebrews 4:16 says you and I today can come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Where we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We should be excited about Jesus. We should be on fire for Christ. God has done more for you and I than we've ever realized he's done. And if there was ever a day, if there was ever a time, if there was ever a moment in time to be on fire for Jesus Christ, this is that moment. This is that time. You are that person. If this kind of talk doesn't excite you, there's something wrong with your wood. Your wood is wet. You need another dip or something. You need to get on fire for Jesus Christ is what I'm saying. The songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus is the only one in this life that you can depend on. He's the only one you can count on. He's the only one who'll never let you down. He's the only one, I wish I had an amen in here. He'll never fail you. Sometimes through life circumstances, folks can start out on fire for Christ. And then later they wind up like a wet blanket going around knowingly or unknowingly putting out other people's fire. For those of you who may be here who are Christians tonight, who are attached to the world, let me just ask you a question. What would it profit you to gain this whole world and then lose your soul? Jesus asked that question. And those who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and thank God for displays of the Spirit, demonstrations of the Spirit. Thank God for that. But do you know, not even someone running is a guarantee that they're living the right way. I mean, that's a good sign. When somebody's running in the Lord, praise God. Somebody's running for Jesus, glory be to God. Somebody has a pep in their step, they're dancing a jig for Jesus, glory be to God. Somebody's singing anointed words for the Lord, praise God. Someone's preaching up a storm, praise God. But none of that is any guarantee that the person is living for Christ, that the person is on fire for Christ. Because sometimes people do stuff, anointed stuff on a platform, then they come down off the platform, then they're acting like the devil. Can't get no amen there. So I'm not decrying that. That's good. I'm encouraging that. I'm suggesting the benefit of that. But what really shows that we're on fire for Christ is how we live our lives. How we treat other people. I wish I had an amen in this place. Matthew 3:11, go there with me. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist wrote this. This is New American Standard. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, John said, and I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? And what? Fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Same thing is carried over Luke. Don't turn there, but Luke 3:16, same thing. John the Baptist saying that the Lord Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now listen, that word fire, it carries that connotation of purity. Thank God for that. That connotation of holiness, that's so important. So important. Critically important. It carries that connotation. There's a connotation in there for judgment. Down, you read down through those last few verses. But it also carries that connotation of fervency, being on fire for Jesus. Let me tell you what, there's no way, you can't be impure and be on fire for Christ. So I might as well say that off the top. Amen. But he said that the Lord, John said, I'm just baptizing you in water, but the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, he's going to baptize the individual members of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. He's going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I tell you, that fire carries that connotation of fervency, heat. And I looked up that word fervent. Look that up in W.E. Vine. And W.E. Vine, Expository Dictionary, says this about the word fervency. It says it means an extreme heat. It means earnest. It means hot. It means to boil. So we could say it this way: as believers, God expects you and I to be fervent for Christ. He means he expects us to be hot. He expects us to boil for Jesus. He expects us to be on fire for Christ. I want to share just three ways. There are many aspects of this, but I have three that I want to share with you tonight before I get out of your way. And I want to talk about being fervent in three ways. Number one, fervent in spirit. Number one, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Number two, fervent in love. Number three, fervent in prayer. Want to touch each of those bases headed for home. Fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. In Acts chapter 18, go there with me, New American Standard. Acts 18, verses 23 through 28. Talking about being on fire for Christ tonight. Talking about God's not concerned with your neighbor being on fire. He's concerned about you being on fire. Amen. Acts 18, 23 through 28. I'm quoting this now, reading this from New American Standard. Verse 23 down through 28 of Acts 18. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples, talking about Paul, third missionary journey. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit. Did you see that? And being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This man, Apollos, the scripture says he was eloquent, but he was fervent in spirit. God wants you to have a spirit, you and I to have a spirit that's on fire for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, if we're going to have a spirit on fire for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to guard what goes in our spirit. Need a bigger amen than that? The Bible says out of our heart flow the issues of life. And you can't just let any junk in your spirit and be on fire for Christ. Gonna say that again. We can't allow any old junk in our spirit and then want to be on fire for Christ. Go with me real quickly to Psalm 32, if you will. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We're talking about being fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Down about verse 3. Well, let's start at 2. Well, let's just start at 1 real quick. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now look at verse 3 now. This is where we're going. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Did you see what happened in verse 3? When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained. Listen, you can't be actively engaging in sin without repentance and then expect to be on fire for Christ. If you're a Christian and you're not on fire tonight, you're not on fire for the Lord, you need to check up on this area. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You can't get an amen when you teach like that. I said, but being fervent in spirit, one aspect of being fervent in spirit means, listen, we have to live a repented life. Can't get a bigger amen than that. Being fervent in spirit. Listen, it's so important To be fervent in spirit, someone gave me not long ago a Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm not a real big candy eater, but I must say I did eat that Reese's peanut butter cup. You know, that Reese's peanut butter cup is just the right mixture of chocolate and peanut butter. Can I get an amen for that? It has the right balance of chocolate and peanut butter. But let me tell you, it reminds me a little bit about what we're talking about tonight, fervency, because there's a balance as we talk about fervency. Here's what I mean. If you're fervent for the Lord, but you don't have enough knowledge, because sometimes people are fervent for the Lord, but they need better knowledge. Wish I had a bigger amen there. It's one thing to be fervent for the Lord, but then also we need to grow in our knowledge. And sometimes you can see this in new believers or in believers who haven't fully grown in the Lord yet. They have a fervency, but then where is the knowledge? You need to balance that fervency with a knowledge. Amen. On the other hand, you have people who have knowledge about the Lord in certain areas, but they lost their fervency. And they just become a wet blanket putting people's fires out. And that's no good either. So if you're fervent for the Lord, but you don't have the knowledge yet, listen, I'm going to say five things real quick. Number one, be teachable. Don't lose your fervency, but be teachable. Can I get an amen there? Don't act like you know everything. Be humble about it. You're on fire for the Lord. Praise God. Don't lose that fire. Protect that fire. But you be teachable. Be willing to learn. Number two, listen, be willing to admit your mistakes. If you make a mistake, go ahead and admit it. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and keep on letting the Lord use you. You said something, it didn't come out right. You prayed something, it didn't come out right. You spoke, listen, that's all right. You made a mistake, just go ahead and admit it. There's nobody here that's never made a mistake. If you're here and you never made a mistake, come down here so I can slap you. Then I apologize for making a mistake and slapping you. Now, listen, be teachable, be willing to admit your mistakes. Number three, listen, be studious. Be studious. Talk about giving you some heads up. If you're fervent for the Lord, but you don't have the knowledge yet, be teachable, be willing to admit your mistakes. Number three, be studious. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be studious. Number four, listen, if you're fervent for the Lord, but you don't have enough knowledge, be sensible. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You understand what I mean by that? This thing started back in the 1500s when there was no indoor plumbing. And everybody had to bathe out of the same water. And back then they say the whole family had to bathe out of the same bathwater. They'd start with the men folk and work their way down to the youngest in the house. By the time they got to the baby, sometimes the bathwater was black. And if you weren't careful, you could throw out the baby and the bathwater. Couldn't see the baby. Now, what's really saying, don't throw out something valuable while you're throwing out something that's not helpful. So if you're on fire for Christ and you have to get corrected and you have to get instruction, embrace that. Do that humbly. Don't lose. See, what some people do is they get corrected and they say, well, see, I ain't going to be on fire for the Lord no more, see. Somebody threw a wet blanket on me. See, I got a wet blanket. Somebody threw a wet blanket on me. I'm not on fire for the Lord anymore. I've grown up in Jesus. You haven't grown up in Jesus. Don't be walking around like a wet blanket saying you grew up in Jesus. Now keep your fire. You got to be corrected. Take that well, but keep your fire. Listen, the last thing, if you're fervent for the Lord, but you don't have enough knowledge, be sociable. Hang around some folks who have that knowledge. Learn to glean from them. Learn to catch what they have. I wish I had a bigger amen. I'm doing a better job teaching this than y'all are saying amen. On the other hand, if you've got knowledge about the Lord, you've grown in your knowledge about the Lord, but you've lost your fervency, you've lost your heat, you've lost your passion and fire for Jesus. Listen, a few things for you here. Five quick things for you. Number one, be humble. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. So stop thinking that you know everything, that people are somehow beneath you. Be humble. Wish I had a bigger amen there. If you're knowledgeable about the Lord, but you've lost your fervency, number two, be spiritual. Spend time with God. You're going to have to spend time with Him. Turn off the movie. Turn down the music. Spend extra time in the Word and prayer. Fall in love with Jesus more deeply. Wish I had a bigger amen. Number three, be obedient. Be obedient. When the Lord tells you to do something, stop arguing with him about it and just do it. Remember, sometimes slow obedience, sometimes it's no obedience. Some of you, God's been telling you to go on a missions trip, been telling you to do certain things, and you've just been arguing with the Lord, arguing with the Lord. Stop arguing with him and do what he told you. Number four, if you're knowledgeable about the Lord, but you've lost your fervency, listen, be willing to start stepping out again. Step out in faith. Get off the sidelines watching and be a participator and stop being a spectator. And faith is only a spectator sport if you're already in heaven. But if you're still on this earth, you have to be a participant. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Sometimes people have been through things in their life and they say, well, you know, I went through that and I was on fire for Christ. I was believing God. I was trusting the Lord. I was bombarding the gates of hell. I was quoting scripture and reading the word, but you know, it didn't work out the way I thought. And yet someone said, I prayed for somebody. It didn't work out the way I thought. Somebody said, well, you know, somebody in my family, they went to heaven early. I was praying for them. I'm no longer on fire in that area. No, my friend, I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care what went wrong. I don't care what happened to so-and-so. I don't care what you experienced or you did not experience. It is time for you to be on fire for Jesus Christ. Finally, if you've got the knowledge but you've lost your fervency, stop being so critical of people and situations. Stop gazing down your nose at people. You think you're providing discernment and really all you're doing is being critical. You may have a critical spirit, so get over it. Get over people's imperfections. And get back in the race doing what God told you. I wish I had an amen. What God told you to do. Number one, be fervent in spirit. Number two, listen, be fervent in love. Be fervent in love. What does that look like? The Bible says in these last days, the love of people has turned and will turn cold. In other words, at one time their love may have been hot. But in these last days, a sign of these last days is that the love of so many people has just turned cold. Listen to Paul's prophetic warning to Timothy about the end times. 2 Timothy 3:16, Living Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, Living Bible, if you will. Verse 3, you may well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed, never give in to others. They will be constant liars, troublemakers, will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel, sneer at those who try to do good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worship God good times to worship God. And they will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that, Paul wrote to Timothy. These last days, we can see it all around us. Love, many times, certainly the love of the world has grown cold, but you can see it many times and sad to say, in Christians, many Christians, their love has grown cold. They're not fervent for the Lord, fervent in love. But let me tell you, to be on fire for Christ, we must be fervent in our spirit. Number two, we must be fervent in love. 1 Peter 1:22. I believe this is New American Standard. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. And you know, Romans 5:5 says that God has poured his love, he shed his love abroad in all of our hearts. So his love is in there. But here Peter writes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, fervently love one another from the heart. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, New American Standard, verse 9 through 21, Romans chapter 12. Listen, if we're going to be on fire for Christ, we've got to be fervent in spirit. We've got to be fervent in our love. in our love walk. And some of us, quite frankly, we need to stir up that love. That love's already in our hearts. And some of us, quite frankly, need to get busy stirring up the love of God. It's already been shed abroad in our heart. If you're a believer, God's already deposited his love in you, and you must get busy stirring up that love. Wish I had a bigger amen. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Here we go. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Somebody said, what does that love look like when it's fervent? Here's what it looks like. 14 again, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our love must be fervent. And some of us need a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost stirring of the love of God that's right down in our heart. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Number three, and finally, fervent in prayer. Fervent in prayer. Luke 22, if you will, New American Standard. Luke 22, 39 through 46. Luke 22, 39 through 46. We talked about being fervent in spirit. We're talking about being on fire for Christ, being fervent for the Lord, the Bible says we should be. You've got to be fervent in spirit. You've got to be fervent in your love walk. You've got to be fervent in prayer if you're going to be on fire for Christ. Luke 22, 39 through 46, New American Standard. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you're willing to remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, 44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, talking about our Savior. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples, found them sleeping from sorrow, and said, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you will not enter into temptation. Of course, you know the rest of the story. They did enter into temptation because they weren't praying fervently. We need a fervent prayer life. When we kick this sermon off, Acts 12, go back there with me. Acts 12, verses 1 through 11. Acts 12, 1 through 11. It's Peter in prison. Herod, this is Herod Agrippa 1. Herod had already killed James, cut his head off. Now he saw that pleased the Jews and he arrested Peter. He's going to do the same thing to Peter. And he had 16 soldiers guarding Peter that night, waiting for the Passover to conclude so that then he could cut his head off. Amazing thing to me is Peter's asleep between those two soldiers. When the angel shows up in that prison, the angel has to smote him in the side. Peter was knocked out, sleeping in peace in Jesus. When you're fervent for Christ, you can sleep, you can lay down and sleep in peace. But the scripture says here, but Peter was kept in prison, verse 5. He was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. They were a fervently praying church. And you know, listen, they were on fire in their prayer lives. And even the Bible says Peter was released in the middle of the night. Even when he was released in the middle of the night, he went to John Mark's house, John Mark's mama's house. And when he got there, they were still praying. The prayer meeting for him was still going on. They were praying fervently. I said, God's looking for a praying church. But to have a praying church, each of us as individuals must have a fervent prayer life. God's talking to you, whether you realize it or not, God's talking to you. Final scripture tonight, final scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, now this is New King James. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amplified version says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And when the Bible says dynamic in its working, it means like dynamite in its working. And as a Christian, God can develop you in your prayer life. You'll go around blowing things up in the Holy Ghost, blowing up the devil's plans, blowing up the devil's schemes. Wish I had a bigger amen. I said, God's looking for the church, you and I, to be flat out, sold out, on fire for Jesus Christ. Fervent in spirit, fervent in love, fervent in prayer. Every head bowed. You know, these three areas I talked to you about tonight, you could be here saying, you know, brother, I hear you. I know I'm not on fire for the Lord like I should be. And let me tell you, sin may be your problem. And there's nothing worse than a Christian. The most miserable person on the planet is a Christian who's living with unconfessed sin. It's miserable. You cannot survive like that. Listen, if you're born again tonight and you're living in unconfessed sin, listen, it's time for you to make it right. God's got a plan for you. The Bible says the gifts and callings of the Lord are without repentance, and God's got a supernatural plan. And listen, every day that you delay in that realm of sin, you're hindering that. You're slowing that down. But tonight is your night. And you're here tonight and you're saying, you know what? I haven't been living for God. I know God, but I haven't been living for him, and tonight I want to turn around. Let me see your hand in here. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I haven't been living for God. Let me see your hand in here. I want to live for God. It's time for me to make a change. Let me see your hand. Lift your hand. Let me just see. I just want to see who I'm talking to. Lift your hand. Praise God. It's time for me to live for God. I see your hands. It's time for me to live for God. You may be in here tonight, and maybe you've never surrendered control of your life to Christ. It's impossible to be on fire for Christ if you've never first given your life to him. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be on fire for him. I want to give my life to him. Let me see your hand in here. I want to give my life to Jesus. Let me see your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to do something for me. Very important. I want you to do something for me. Listen, I want you right now. I want you just boldly. God's going to put his fire on you. You're going to leave here burning for Jesus. But I want you to just stand up on your feet. You just lifted your hand to me. You just lifted your hand and said, that's me. I know Jesus, but I'm not living for him. Or I don't know Jesus and I want to know Jesus. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Just want you to boldly just stand up on your feet. God is going to put his fire on you right now tonight. Just boldly. Don't let anything hold you back. Just stand. That's right. Just stand right up. Just stand right. Don't be embarrassed. Just stand right up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. I want you to do one more thing. I want you to come right down here. I'm going to pray for you. Just step out of the aisle. Come right down here. I'm going to pray for you. God is going to set you on fire. The Lord has just come right on down here. Praise God. Don't be embarrassed. Just come right on down here. Face me. Praise God. Don't you be embarrassed. Come right on down here. The Lord is going to set you on fire. You are going to leave this place on fire. He is going to burn in you. You are going to remember this day the rest of your life. Praise God. Just come right on down here. Don't you be embarrassed. Come right on down here. The Lord's going to touch you. It's his church. It's his fire. He is going to put his fire on you. Praise. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. Come on. There's time. Just come on. No worries at all. Don't you be embarrassed. Just come right on down here. You know you haven't been living for God. You know you haven't been living for God. He wants to put his fire. God is waiting to unleash his fire on you. He's waiting to pour his fire on you. You are going to live boldly. You are going to live boldly for Jesus Christ. Your life is no longer going to be the same. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Because you're saying to him, you're my help. You're where my help comes from. Just lift one hand to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the congregation, stretch your hand. Stretch your hand. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray. First prayer we're going to pray. We're all going to pray this prayer. All right. The congregation's going to pray it out loud. Want each of you to pray it out loud. Just say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I repent of my sins. And you see my life. You know my going out. You know my coming in again. None of it is hidden from you. You see it all. And I repent. Ask you to forgive me on the basis of faith in Jesus. He died for me. He was raised from the dead. And he's the Son of God. And I believe it in my heart. So I thank you, Father, that you always honor your word. And that when I ask you to come in, and when I ask to come home, you have open arms. And based on the promise in your word, you've come into my life, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I want you to release your plan. Your plan for me. Put that plan in motion. Burn those things out of my life that have hindered me to this point. And cause me to burn with a mighty fire. Cause me to burn with a fervency. Cause me to never be the same after tonight. That I might live for Jesus with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, behind you, our sister Shirley is right here behind you, and she is going to take you to a place of prayer, if you will, and lift your hands one more time to the Lord. Everybody, lift your hands one more time. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father God. Oh, thank you for fervency tonight. Thank you that every single one of these is going to live passionately for Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your heat, your fervency, your power, your dynamite-like power in them. They're going to never be the same. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want you to go with Shirley to a place of prayer, and she's going to explain and answer questions and give you free materials from our pastors, and you are not going to leave here like you came. I promise you, that fire of God is alive in you, and God's going to stir and kindle it. If you would right now, go with Shirley to that place of prayer. Come on, let's give them a big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's look, get up on your feet. Let's cheer for them. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, I want you to get up on your feet. Let's cheer for these people. If you're going to cheer for a Super Bowl team in a couple of weeks, come on. Can we hear it for them? Can we encourage them? Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus took 12 people that were on fire for him, and they turned the whole world upside down. 12 folk on fire for Christ turned their world upside down. And God is expecting no less from you and I. We're going to have to burn with fire for the Lord to accomplish his great commission, to accomplish his plan in the earth. And let me tell you, sometimes as a church, we're too complacent. We get too comfortable. And thank God for modern conveniences and thank God for technology, but that stuff should not make us complacent and comfortable and compromising. Because sometimes God's plan, God's call will cause us to do things that are inconvenient. But if you're on fire for Christ, nothing else will matter. He called a man from a mighty revival, Philip in Samaria, told Philip to go out to a lonely desert road, preach to one man. But Philip was on fire for Christ. Didn't matter. Philip said, give me one or give me 1,000. I'm going to preach to him the same way. He was on fire for Jesus. Father, we've done our best now. We've endeavored to share that which you gave us for your people. And I pray that you'll burn in them personal, relevant application in all of their lives. You see where we are. Thank you, Father, for burning away those things that have hindered us heretofore. Those things that have slowed us down heretofore. And may we never, never, ever be the same. May we burn fervently for Jesus. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, if you're here tonight and it's your first time, I want you to wave real big again because our same connection team workers are coming to you going to escort you to a place of prayer like Pastor Tad was talking about. Not a place of prayer, going to escort you to a place to give you a gift. That's all they're doing. They're giving you a gift on behalf of our pastors. So if you would, go with them right now. Go with them right now. Let's give all of our first-time guests a big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. However you lived for Jesus last year, thank God. Thank God. But that ain't going to be good enough this year. God is expecting you and I to burn hotter, stronger, with more fire and passion than we ever have before this year. Thank God for last year. But God's got a new work he's doing in you and I this year. And if we'll yield to him, we're going to walk with that fire and passion. Listen, you be here on Wednesday night. Be ready for Hour of Power. Be praying for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen as they're out ministering. And let's keep them lifted up this week. Anything for forgetting to share here? So listen, you are dismissed. We love you. We'll see you next service. God bless you.